Falun Gong is freely practiced in at least 57 countries around the world, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGM-TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else. Hello, and welcome to the FGM-TV Weekly News Review on Tuesday, August the 20th, 2002. I'm Susan Mitchell.
And I'm David Tompkins.
The number of Falun Gong practitioners in China verified to have died as a result of mistreatment by Jiang Zemin's regime is 452. However, sources in China put the actual number in the thousands. In the past 7 days, accounts of torture and illegal persecution were received from 16 different provinces across China, and also from the cities of Beijing and Shanghai. In that same period of time, 247 people declared that the documents they signed while enduring torture were null and void, and they will continue to practice Falun Gong. In addition, 3 reports of deaths resulting from torture were received.
Our top story this week: a Hong Kong judge convicts 16 Falun Gong practitioners of public obstruction in what government and media around the world see as the end of the one country, two systems approach of government.
And some of our other stories: a Falun Dafa practitioner successfully defends herself in court and walks free. The Canadian Broadcasting Standards Council finds CCTV propaganda unfit for Canadian TV. 5 Falun Dafa practitioners carry hope across Russia. In China, a mudslide claims the lives of 67 people. Exposing the persecution in New York's Chinatown. A Chinese festival in Toronto. And the Bosnian Falun Dafa website is up and running. On August 15, Hong Kong magistrate Simon Wong convicted 16 Falun Gong practitioners of public obstruction. 9 were convicted of the more serious charge of obstructing police, and 3 were convicted of assaulting police. They were ordered to pay fines ranging from 1,300 to 3,800 Hong Kong dollars, or 170 to approximately 500 US dollars. Legal counsel for the practitioners has begun an appeal for the decision. The 16 include 4 Swiss and 1 New Zealand citizen. This is the first time that Falun Gong practitioners have been charged outside China, and many believe the controversial trial and convictions signal an end to the one country, two systems arrangement for Hong Kong. What actually happened? In March of this year, when Jiang Zemin issued an order to shoot on sight any Falun Gong practitioners caught hanging posters or handing out flyers in China, 4 Swiss practitioners decided to fly to China through Hong Kong to appeal. They were denied entry to China, so decided to remain briefly in Hong Kong to conduct a quiet hunger strike in front of the China liaison office. They were joined by 12 local practitioners to occupy less than 10 feet of the 30-foot sidewalk by the building, which in itself is in a rather out-of-the-way part of the city. From the photograph, you can see that there are few people around except police. Staff from the China liaison office made several phone calls to police asking that the appeal be stopped. Police caved in to the pressure and told the practitioners to move further away from the building. This police order to move a few feet away represents the heart of the problem for those who practice Falun Gong around the world. Should those who were doing the sit-in have abided by Hong Kong law, which says that what they were doing is perfectly legal? Or should they have obeyed the enforcers of Hong Kong law, who were breaking their own laws by doing what the China liaison staff were asking? Opinion is split around the world. The 16 decided to uphold Hong Kong law, and they remained seated. Police repeated their order, and when no one moved, they surrounded and violently arrested the practitioners, injuring 9 of them by using excessive force, putting pressure on painful acupuncture points at the base of the skull. Hong Kong's Mingpao Daily newspaper reported that Hong Kong citizens should be very concerned about the outcome of this trial, because practitioners were charged with a law originally intended to prevent street hawkers and prostitutes from blocking Hong Kong's sidewalks. That law was not intended to curtail people's right to hold sit-ins or express their views. Video and eyewitness evidence contradict the charges of obstruction and assault. Further, during the trial, the prosecutor did not produce a single third-party witness to any obstruction. Associated Press reported on August 19th that Hong Kong police and the magistrate who tried the case said the defendant's Falun Gong activities were not at issue. But local Hong Kong human rights activists and opposition politicians called the case a blatantly political prosecution to appease Beijing. The Falun Gong practitioners filed court papers early on August 19th, asking to avoid paying the fines while they are appealing their convictions. "We did not break any laws," defendant Wang Yuhing told reporters. "Even if we go to jail, we're not going to pay the fines." Justice Department spokeswoman Winnie Wong declined comment on the defendant's request to put off paying their fines.
Practitioners around the world held sit-ins to appeal against the trial. In Toronto, on August 13th, Falun Gong practitioners held a 48-hour sit-in in front of the Hong Kong Economics and Trade Office. The sit-in ended with a letter being delivered to the staff there. FGM TV was there and brings you this coverage. In Sweden, there were activities in Stockholm, where practitioners gathered in front of the Chinese embassy, and in Gothenburg. In London, as well as gathering in front of the embassy, a new SOS walk. There were news conferences in Paris, France, and Ottawa, Canada. Candlelight vigils in Vienna, Austria, and in Montreal, Canada. More gatherings at Chinese embassies in Tokyo, Japan, and Washington, D.C. While in other parts of the USA, there were more news conferences in San Francisco and in Sacramento, California, and also a hunger strike in Bern, Switzerland.
A Falun Dafa disciple successfully defends herself in court. In China today, any person found putting up banners or posters with information about Falun Dafa will be arrested. Some have been shot and murdered by police. Miss Yungshan Hao, who had been arrested for hanging Dafa banners, was brought to trial on August the 6th at 2 p.m. in the first courtroom of Liaoning Province, Jingzhou City's Linghe District Court. Police would not allow any Falun Dafa practitioners to enter the courtroom, even though some held visitors' passes. According to a college student who was in the courtroom during the trial, Ms. Hao was very assertive, telling the court that the purpose of hanging Dafa banners was to let people know the truth and not to be fooled by the lies. Falun Dafa is good. The judge accepted that her defense was logical and rational, and she was released unconditionally.
On August 16th, the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council decided in favor of Falun Gong regarding a complaint against Talent Vision. The station had broadcast to CCTV, Chinese state television, news report defaming the spiritual practice. The report, aired on December 16, 2001, featured a news story on Fu Yibin, who was accused of having killed his wife and his father with a butcher knife. When viewing the report, the council said, "It is nothing more or less than a biased attack on Falun Gong by the producer of the news item." They went on to say, "There are no fewer than four separate video clips of the blood-soaked apartment. The additional airings were excessive and constituted inappropriate repetition of violent footage in a news report." This was a typical news report that Chinese media has aired constantly to defame Falun Gong. Practitioners in China accused the state-controlled CCTV of systematically fabricating news to attack the practice and its founder, teacher Li Hongzhi. They say it is designed to turn public opinion against the practice. Canadian practitioners congratulated the council for its foresight in preventing the CCTV from extending its persecution of Falun Gong to Canadians.
Moving now to Russia. Falun Dafa practitioners, five of them, spread the practice over thousands of miles from the western to the central region of Russia through small towns and the capital city of one Russian republic. They were warmly supported by TV stations, city governments, police, and local Chinese. After visiting local governments and media, they went to markets, where they handed out information materials and demonstrated the exercises. Many people were deeply touched, and some said, "This is exactly what I've searched for my entire life." The practitioners said they would return to teach the exercises.
CNN reported that on August 14th, a large landslide crashed through 10 villages about 120 miles south of the capital of Yunnan province in China. The mudslide happened in the middle of the night, killing 67 people. A county official told reporters by phone, "We have never seen such a mudslide. One like this is very rare. It is record-making. And there is little hope of finding any survivors," he said. The killer landslides are the latest blow to China, which this year has been battling floods that have killed more than 900 people so far.
Moving now to Holland. A Dutch-based psychiatry watchdog issued a report recently comparing China's abuse of mental health facilities to that of the former Soviet Union. Evidence of the abuse of psychiatry first emerged in China with the persecution of Falun Gong. In an interview, Robert Van Voren, General Secretary of the Geneva Initiative on Psychiatry, describes the situation as a gross violation of human rights and medical ethics. He said, quote, "It's fairly similar to what happened in the Soviet Union. People are being injected with neuroleptics, with psychotropic drugs. They're beaten up, they're raped, they're wrapped up in wet linen, and when it dries, they're squeezed like an orange. That creates excruciating pain. It's punishment, it's maltreatment, it's torture." He went on to say, "The issue of political abuse of psychiatry came to the forefront because of the situation with the Falun Gong. When the Chinese cracked down on Falun Gong in the late 1990s, large groups of them were incarcerated in psychiatric hospitals, and that's how we found out that there was actually something going on. It turns out that there are much larger groups of people who wind up in psychiatric hospitals. They are labor activists, they are dissidents. There's a large group of people who've been complaining to authorities, for example, for local authorities being corrupt, or roofs leaking, all kinds of minor things. And they've been sending complaint letters to the authorities, and they are perceived as being bothersome. So they just lock them up in a psychiatric hospital. It's a very commonly used way of getting rid of bothersome people." Finally, he said, "The psychiatrists in the other two systems either believe that these people are mentally ill, like many of the Soviet scientists believed that the dissidents were ill, or they know very well what they're doing and know that they're using psychiatry for non-medical purposes. Either way, what they're doing with people in psychiatric hospitals is a form of torture, and therefore it is a breach of their medical ethics and of their whole professional competence, and they should be punished for this. They should be prosecuted."
And now to New York. From the 10th to the 12th of August, Falun Dafa practitioners in New York City gathered in Confucius Plaza in the heart of Chinatown to play videos of the staged immolation incident and Falun Dafa spreading around the world on a large screen projector, and hundreds of passersby stopped to watch. Local practitioners report that many people took material about Falun Dafa as they watched the videos, and many also stopped to discuss Jiang Zemin's crimes in greater depth.
Moving back to Toronto, a Chinese celebration was held on August the 11th in Toronto's central Chinatown. Many people participated in the events, including Falun Gong practitioners who were there to offer free calligraphy and handmade lotus flowers.
And finally, a Bosnian Falun Dafa website is now available at the address on your screen. FGM-TV is happy to announce that a Bosnian Falun Dafa website is now up and running. The language of the website can be understood by almost 20 million people in the countries of the former Yugoslavia, Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Yugoslavia, and Macedonia. Practitioners in Europe advise that more and more people in these countries are interested in Falun Dafa, so the webpage should offer them an easier way to find information about the practice itself, as well as news about the persecution, worldwide peaceful appeals, and other Dafa activities. Thanks for watching FGM TV. dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade,
revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.